Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, and on the Ox Court, Ailish Forfar, playing all the hits that you would hear at the Ale House in Kingston circa 2007-2008. Great Ox Court so far. A lot of hip-hop, a lot of weekend vibes. Good job, Ailish. Oh, that's the people can't see the peace sign you just threw up. But
I appreciate it. I feel good. At least I'm winning on one thing, the Ox Court.
We'll get you back on the winning streak at 8:30 when we do the Wake and Rake. Before that, this Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. We're joined by Sportsnet Insider and NBA columnist Michael Grange. Grange, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm great, Blake. How is everybody today?
Pretty good. Maybe a little chilly. I don't know, but I think the energy's high heading into a very fun sports weekend. You know, you got the Leafs back in action. You got the NFL playoffs. And we've got our Toronto Raptors with a back-to-back here. Let's start here, Michael. Tonight is the Dwayne Casey game, which every Raptor fan knows well. Is whatever the line says, whatever you feel about this game on paper, you probably have to throw out because Dwayne Casey's Pistons are bad and have been bad ever since Dwayne Casey went there. But they are 7-3 against Nick Nurse's Toronto Raptors in that head coaching matchup. How we heard quotes from the Pistons last time out about how badly they wanted that win for Dwayne Casey. Is this ever going away? Like, are the Raptors always just going to be circling, oh yeah, the Pistons game's probably a loss because the Pistons guys, you know, Dwayne Casey's got money on the board. They really want this one more than a regular game.
You would think it would. I mean, the interesting thing about it, I mean, the Pistons team is pretty much turned over, right? Like, I mean, in the last, you know, it's not like they've had a steady lineup because I remember the first time the first time they matched up, it was Blake Griffin, right? Who had a huge game and was saying how we were doing it for Dwayne and, you know, and about whatever number of months later they bought him out and it ended up kind of bitter there. So it's just an odd one. I think it speaks a little bit to Dwayne, right? Like people like him. They obviously want to play for him. And the Raptors have been, with the exception of last year, have been definitely the better team. Yeah, every time they've connected. So it's really, you know, when it's a 10-game sample, you have to kind of pay attention to it a little bit for sure. But the flip side of that right now is the Raptors got to get this one. I mean, they're heading out on, you know, it's the first of a pretty tough road trip. And we saw what Milwaukee did when healthy last night. And, you know, so I think you want to split one of these two games. And I think we can all agree which one would be easier to get.
Yeah, that's for sure. So at Detroit tonight, at Milwaukee tomorrow, and that game's on Sportsnet 590, The Fan here. Michael, we were talking a little off the top about, you know, what we care most about this weekend narratively around all sports. And one of the things I brought up was, yeah, this Raptors schedule is about to turn tougher, at least for a little bit. They go on this 6-game winning streak that's against a fair number of bad teams or teams that are thinned out by injury. And then you get this Suns game where, hey, it's their first real test in a while, and they look awesome in a loss despite being shorthanded. And now you look ahead, and Detroit's Detroit, but you're at Milwaukee, at Miami, at Dallas after this. How much do you think we can find out about the Raptors right now? And there's, you know, I know there's a little bit of urgency ahead of the deadline, but I think there's also just a little bit of urgency to find out, you know, is this team good and potentially good enough to push out of the play-in part of the East bracket? Or are they just a team that took advantage of a easier slate of schedule there?
Yeah, I think it will be telling. And it's on the road. You know, five of those 6 wins were at home. And even if you go back to their 5-game winning streak in November, it was, in retrospect, against some really soft teams. And so I think, you know, let's presume that you get Gary Trent back and maybe Scotty Barnes. And so they're fairly full lineup. If they go through those 3 games you mentioned and they're not competitive in them and it's looking, you know, you're just not getting that kind of encouraging feedback you might hope for, I think it would be a little bit telling. But if they go through those and they get 2 or they get 1 and they're really tough in the other 2, whatever it might be, a much, much more impressive, or then I think you can proceed with a little more confidence. And I do think there's still a lot of evaluating going on because you really have such a small sample for this group. But and with the trade deadline approaching, but still kind of in the distance a bit, you know, I think the question for this whole season has been, you know, how close is this team to being a factor in the East based on, you know, that triangle or that three, you know, that three-legged stool of OG and Pascal and Fred. And when you look at how they played against Phoenix, you're like, wow, you know, they're not very, very, they're not that far. And maybe it does encourage you to invest a little bit and kind of see if you can build around the margins. And if they're not even close, then maybe it informs you the other way.
Yeah, so 15 games left until the trade deadline. And Michael, I'm glad you framed it that way of we're still finding out and they're still finding out ahead of, you know, these bigger decision points, which, you know, honestly are probably more of big offseason decision points than anything. But you and I have talked a lot on here and privately about whether the Raptors are going to have to pick a direction this year. You mentioned, though, potentially just doing something at the margin. So let's say, you know, 15 games between now and the deadline. Let's say they go 8-7 or something like that. So they're right around 500, probably still right around 6-7-8 in the East. So they're looking like roughly a 500 team and probably a first-round exit team. Do you see a scenario where, and I don't think we're going to get as far as like the Raptors trading away future picks or anything like that, because they're not there yet, but do you see them potentially tweaking at the margins in terms of like, hey, they're clearly out on Malachi Flynn and maybe you want to recoup something there, or hey, Chris Boucher is an expiring contract and he's 29 and you could probably get, you know, a capable bench guard back for him to address that weakness. Do you see the Raptors looking at maybe a shorter term basketball trade that doesn't, you know, it doesn't answer these bigger picture long-term questions we have, but it maybe makes them a little better between now and the playoffs?
I think they should explore it because there's pretty clear weaknesses they have. I mean, you touch on the backup point guard situation or backup playmaker situation, something that's going outside of Fred. I mean, it's, you know, they're trying to get Scottie into that role. They've had success with Pascal at it, but you know, it's you know, I think if they are going to be in the playoffs in any shape or form, I think it's a weakness you've got to address. So the short answer is yes. You know, and you look at that roster, and if you don't want to go into your draft picks, then your most movable pieces are Boucher, Flynn for sure. I don't know how married they are to Precious Achiuwa at this point. Like, I mean, there's still a lot of upside there, but, you know, we'll see. And then, Gary Trent, as we've talked about, like, that's, if you're going to swing a little bigger, that's a really interesting piece, I'm sure. And of course, you've got that Goran money out there to use as any kind of matching at some point. So they got some pieces, but it's interesting philosophically, because if you are more encouraged by this group, right? And you know, so you've got, you know, Fred's an all-star. I think Pascal Siakam is certainly also has been an all-star, all-star adjacent right now. OG Anunoby, like, you know, I think at the very least he's that superstar role player, probably more in the tank. And then, you know, Scottie's looking like a really, really promising piece for years to come. All of a sudden, that's a core that you've kind of done the hard part, right? Like, you've got your good players, and, you know, maybe you are more aggressive in terms of trying to find, you know, there's two pretty clear weaknesses, right? One is, as we talked about, is you know, an additional playmaker. And I do think as much as you want to play positionless and it's, there's, you know, you can cause a lot of problems. I think if there's no rule that you can't have a 7-footer who can help you in multiple different ways. And it just happens to be a pretty robust market right now for 7-footers. Like, we can name 4 or 5 that might be available right off the top of your head. And so you just wonder if they just, you know, they just get a little more aggressive if they're kind of encouraged. And keep in mind, this is a team that hasn't had a home, you know, it's way down in terms of revenue right now. Not that MLSE is, you know, going, you know, with their hands out anywhere, but, you know, you look at the East, you look at your team, you look at the holes, and you look at the tools you have to fill them and go, well, could we get a 7-game first round series? Could we get a second round series out of this? And, you know, I'm sure they'd welcome those $30 or $40 million.
So, much like I believe in the principle of
I knew this is when you'd jump in, JB. I knew this is when you would jump in.
Okay. You know it. I love my fake trades. You know I love it. And I'm down to basically trade everybody. But I just agree with what a lot of what you said, obviously. But I don't really care about the direction. I just care about value right now. I think that the Raptors are in a really good position where you can go either way. Just do it the right way. Just do the value way. Pick that direction. So the stacking analogy I was going to make is like, you know, you take the best player on the board. That's always my philosophy. Take the guy that you think can be a star. Go with that. Great. Check. Awesome. Don't go for need. And that's similarly how I feel about this trade market or the next, I don't know, 2 months or whatever it is before the NBA trade deadline is, hey, oh, that's hockey. Hey, take the best route. If Gary Trent Jr. has a market where someone's going to overpay for him, trade him. Who cares if he's 22 years old? Who cares if he's a sharpshooter? Gary Trent Jr. is only on a 2-year contract. He's got one more year after this one. You trade him if somebody gets desperate and is willing to drastically overpay from an asset standpoint that maybe you take a step back this season from a roster van, but you get better overall. You have more in the coffer to build around those other guys that are clearly more the core. Conversely, the other thing, if a center comes up or a playmaker comes up and you can get them on the cheap and he doesn't force you to mortgage the future, or you can move from a position of depth, like, you know, the Raptors have three centers that I think you got to pick two out of those three guys, Boucher, Kem, and Birch. Moving forward, you can't keep all three, so flip one of them for a piece that's value. I don't think that they need to make their direction clear other than value. Go with the value.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the, you know, I understand that, you know, they've been loath to attach first round picks, and, you know, I don't see them rushing to deviate from that just because first round picks are really important to this organization. Like, they're not really, I think, going to be players in the free agent market anytime soon. And there's not much, you know, so I think, you know, but I would say this, like, to borrow a baseball term, like, a controllable asset, right? So is this the time you go and grab a rental and hope they, you know, push you over the top from seventh place to fifth place? No. But is this the time you go and go? Because keep in mind, as you guys have talked about, we're all aware, as much as you kind of look at this core as being young, and OG Anunoby would qualify, I think, as being young. Certainly Gary Trent's pretty young. But you know, Fred and Pascal are not young. They're in their prime, and the first stages of their prime. But so if you can get someone who, again, fills a need and has 2-3 years left on their deal, or a couple of years left on their deal, and is 26, not 29, I mean, I, you know, would you give up a pick for that, for the right player? I don't think that's that crazy, to be honest, because if you're going to, you do have Scottie Barnes, if you're going to leverage 27, 28-year-old Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, whoever they draft 15th next year or 18th or 12th is unlikely to be an immediate help to them. And, you know, at some point you've got to see, you know, I think if you believe in this group, it's probably not a bad idea to invest in this group.
Yeah. So, again, I think that's really smart. Sorry, Ailish, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Just like building on the NBA deadline stuff with the Raptors, have you heard any updates on the Dragic situation or any like predictions on how this might play out with the Raptors? Are they still going to wait to see how, like, if his money's useful in a trade or buy it out if not?
His money, the only reason he hasn't bought out, Ailish, is exactly what you said, is that number could be useful in a trade between now and February 10th. If he's not traded by February 10th, he'll be bought out, you know, at a mutually agreeable rate on February 11th. And, you know, but, you know, I have heard that it's not even guaranteed he'll play anywhere this year. Like, he might, you know, I think the so-called personal situation, the reason he had to leave the team, like, it was a real thing. And, you know, there was that, nothing about that has been less than amicable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's it. I mean, it's just purely business. They want to hold on to his rights, so to speak, in case they do need to match salaries in the trade. And I don't think there's no guarantee he will. And as soon as it's done, he'll be bought out and maybe he'll sign somewhere else. But I've also heard that he might just sit this whole year out and wait and re-sign in Miami. You never know.
Yeah. Oof. That's I was never really a fan of everything that happened with the Kyle Lowry departure, but yeah, watching Dragic just re-sign in Miami in the offseason and Precious Achiuwa continue to miss shots at the rim. It's getting harder and harder, 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 harder. I don't really need that as the, especially considering that I thought, oh, okay, Dallas needs to overpay for Dragic. They're going to give you something stupid for Dragic, and I was could not have been more wrong. So before you go, Grange, I do want you to sort of weigh in on something Blake and I discussed. Do you have an All-NBA vote? Is that something you do? I feel like you would.
Yeah,
you should.
I have.
Okay, so this is your ballot today. We were thinking about Draymond because the Warriors have kind of stunk without him. They look like a completely different team, and this is a couple of years removed from us going, hey, should they move the Draymond contract? Is Draymond washed? Is he changing? Is he on the decline? Blah, 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 blah. And yet, this center discussion for All-NBA right now, you got to have Jokic on the first team, I would imagine. Joel Embiid's got to be there. And then you've got Karl-Anthony Towns doing the Karl-Anthony Towns thing where his stats are eye-popping, but his team kind of stinks. And then you have Rudy Gobert, who's given you, you know, all-world defense on a team that's been great in the Western Conference. And Draymond doesn't have the counting stats, but we're starting to come back on this idea of, hey, look how important this guy is to potentially the number one contender in the NBA if they're all healthy and they're all going right. Where do you put him in? Are you a cheater who slides him in as a forward instead of the center? Like, what do you do?
Well, he does start alongside Kevin Looney, right? So
yeah, I know. So that's why. That's the cheaters. You go like, hey, I know how to cheat. This is like, oh, it's actually you're not cheating, but it's a loophole. You're loopholing us. Let's put it that way then.
He would definitely get an All-NBA vote for me, 100%. I mean, he's going to be Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, I'm just a massive fan of his. And guess what, right? If you want to achieve your potential in your 30s and play your best basketball or early 30s, whatever it is, stop boozing. There seems to be a really, pretty serious correlation there between Draymond Green's performance and his own admission of, curbing some of his appetites. And, that's always, for you kids out there, give it some thought.
that's great, Grange. Thank you so much for that. I'm not going to heed that advice.
Contrast.
Raptors tonight, Raptors Leafs and NFL tomorrow, NFL Sunday. There's no chance that I'm heeding that advice this weekend of all weekends. Hope you have a good weekend, though, Michael. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you, buddy.
That insider been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So the Dragic note there is interesting. So for anyone who doesn't know, the Raptors can't buy Dragic out and then he re-signed in Miami. They closed the loophole a few years back where players would do that, right? Like you'd trade a guy away for salary matching, the new team would waive him, and then he'd sign right back to his old team. They closed that, so he's got to wait until next year. The idea of him sitting out the entire year is, I don't know. I don't know that we had heard that before. I certainly think if that's his plan, well, that takes out the buyout possibility, because why would he give any money back if he doesn't plan on playing somewhere else? Like, there's no incentive for him to do that. But
an agreement.
Yeah, of course.
This is the last we talk about Dragic until something actually happens with Dragic. Like, I don't think that there's anything that Toronto sports fans care less about than the status of Goran Dragic. Like, it's established. He's not a meaningful asset in the NBA. He's not netting you anything back. If anything, he's used for a salary in terms of making some kind of a trade work, facilitating trade.
But that is a real thing.
Sure, but when that happens, let's do it. But I don't care what Goran Dragic is doing anymore. Like, he's in Slovenia, and then he's going to a beach in Miami eventually to retire. He's been completely worthless to the Toronto Raptors. He has provided 0.0 worth. I would like to remember that there were people that genuinely believed that this guy was going to become a Toronto sports fan favorite. That was actually a take that was out there. This is why I said you had to flip him before the season started, even if it was for a meaningless asset, because it was only going to go downhill.
After this point, I don't think that you can stand on that, because part of that was Dragic looks like he fits, and if you look at where the Raptors' weaknesses are, Dragic could address that. And also, like, the personal matter he's dealing with is legitimate. Like, we didn't know that before the season. So that, like, maybe he would have been in the mix here, and or it could have been different. I know you're rolling your eyes, but, like, come on. There's a legitimate
guy said he didn't want to be
here.
A Raptor, and then everybody had to write a piece of, like, he actually does want to be a Raptor, and all the Raptors media was
we just had that guy on.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't just Grange. Everybody did it. They were like, it's out of context, and you can't say that about Dragic. And
it certainly wasn't out of context, but the context that is important is that, like, there's a family thing going on. So, anyway, we don't need to talk about Dragic anymore. Between now and February 10th.
You think he's not playing for the Miami Heat if there's the family thing going on? Like, you think he's not just, like, playing for the family?
Well, he can't play for the Miami Heat this year.
Yeah. No, I'm saying if he was not traded, do you think that the family thing would have prevented him from playing in the NBA?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know. We don't know the specifics necessarily. And also, like, I assume after this long, his family is Miami-based. So maybe that's a little easier to manage, right, than being Toronto-based. Anyway, we don't need to talk about him anymore, other than I assume between now and February 10th, we're going to do a few segments where JD throws bad trades at me. And you don't want to talk about Dragic now, JD? I'll tell you, when you fire up that trade machine and looking for ways to make salaries match in multi-team deals, Goran Dragic is going to be your favorite Raptor for the next couple weeks.
You're allowed to say his name then.
Yeah.
He's already my trade machine. Blake, you gave me a beautiful Raptor-centric
trade machine
the other day.
Let's talk about this on air. Yeah.
I know. I'm not going to out it, but it was one of those ones where had you put it on Twitter, it would have popped off. So forever and ever and ever, because there's not a single Raptors fan on the planet that wouldn't do that trade. Masai Ujiri would have maybe even actually texted you and gone.
But it looked good from the other side, too, didn't it?
Okay. Not the Denver side.
Goran Dragic, well, I mean, it depends on whether you're trying to maximize Jokic just this year or forever, right? Like,
I don't think you want to get Gary Trent Jr. back as the best player in a deal that involves, let's just say, a potential Denver star.
You're basically giving it away. Tread lightly.
Well, no, it was a huge, like, 17-player, four-pick, 14 trade. It was ridiculous.
It was the Denver Nuggets get Chris Boucher and some picks for
Jamal Murray. Well, just throw a second at it.
Second-round picks.
All right, Goran Dragic not going to help the Raptors tonight as their 7.5-point favorites at Detroit. We're going to explore that line. We're going to explore the weekend's NFL lines. We're talk to our boy, Coolbet Chris, see if we can go 4-0 again on the Friday Wake and Rake. That's next. The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Whatever happening? I feel like probably something bad, something I don't really want to look at. It's one of those just let sleeping dogs lie scenarios. Fan Morning Show. I'm JD Bunkus. Ailish Forfar's Ox Court today. Absolutely killer Ox Court. Throwback to collared shirts.
Do you want to know the actual answer to what Akon's doing now? Because it's even sadder than something.
Is it like crypto or something?
That's what I said.
His next album is being released as an NFT.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
As a crypto bro, I would like to say no comment. Chris Abbott, he of real dollars, not crypto dollars, betting dollars, of cool bet dollars, he joins us now. What's up, buddy? How are we doing?
Hey, how you doing? I mean, I would take a bunch of crypto. I mean, I'm late in the game. I really, really wish I was listening back a few years ago. Don't we all?
Buddy.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, my God. Doing good. I will say this is like, I've heard of so many people get crypto as gifts that they got like a long time ago. Why wasn't that me? Why wasn't that me? Why not me? Where was my crypto gift? So if someone wants to gift me the Akon NFT, I would be real stoked on that present, okay? Just let me tell you. Let me get in on some of the Akon new album NFT, although maybe it's not going to be worth very much. It's an Akon album. Tough one. So are you in Vegas yet or what? Like you're Mr. You bought a ticket for like $130 two-way Vegas like return trip. I hate you. Like you live the life I want to live.
Honestly, I had no plans of going. It's NHL All-Star Weekend that I'm going, and I was looking yesterday, and yeah, the return flights were really good. I don't know if I'm allowed to promote that on the air. I guess I didn't give an airline name, but yeah, I got a really, really good price, so had to go.
Yeah. You know where else you get a good price? Cool bet. That's where we're doing our betting this weekend. So let's just start with this. Last week, We forced you into a pick last second. We said, Chris, give us a wake and rake pick. Bang, it hit. We went 4-0. I got to tell you, and this is actually my first question to you. Do you actually like that this show exists? Because we've been giving out so many winners to people in Quebec. I wonder if it's actually record losses.
Yeah, I mean, there's just this like glowing red ring around the 590 listenership. Yeah, it's becoming an issue. No, it's great. It's awesome. We love it. We love it when people win.
Yeah, no, that's how you know how rich these books are, when they're like, we don't care. You losers always lose. That's it's like even the best among you are so big losers. But yes, no, that's amazing. It's been great. So let's stay hot. Let's keep it hot. Let's start with the NFL, though, because we got to get into some of these picks for the weekend. I'll just start with you. What game, Chris, did you just circle? Which game are you looking at right now and saying, you know what, this is the one where I feel the most confidence when I'm betting it?
You know, it's funny because, you know, the last two or three, at least the last 2 weeks, the schedule has been like, man, we didn't know who was playing, and it was really hard to handicap games. So now when you look at the spread, you're like, now, should I be skeptical of this or what? Mm-hmm. But the one that stands out the most to me is actually Bengals -5.5. The Raiders are definitely a different team at home and on the road. Playing in Las Vegas is very, very difficult, and Joe Burrow is going to be the benefactor of playing at home, I think, against this team. I think the Bengals just have more weapons. I think they have more big playability. You know, experience will be a factor. Obviously, you've got a young quarterback going into this situation for the first time, but when I look at the other spreads on the board comparatively, I think the public love that's come in on the Raiders, because I think the Bengals opened at 6.5, and now they're down to 5.5. So I'm happy to let the money come in on Vegas and then get a better number on Cincinnati.
So I'm on Cincinnati too, but on the money line. I will say the number scares me a little, just because it's the 5.5. It feels just a little bit inflated, and given the way that the Raiders have been this year, where I haven't been able to bet them properly, I'm a little afraid of the 5.5 backdoor cover. I'm a little afraid of Max Crosby and the way that he's playing, and the fact that the Bengals offensive line is pretty shaky. But yeah, ultimately, I would expect that Cincinnati gets this done, and especially if it is close late, given that, to me, this is the biggest gambling edge in this entire thing, is that Vegas played an extremely emotionally draining game and a physically taxing game to get into the playoffs, and now they're on a short week. It's a short week. They played Sunday night, and now they're playing Saturday afternoon. They played into overtime. That defense was gassed at the end of that football game. Their offense was gassed at the end of that football game. I just don't know if you recover the same way against a younger Bengals team that has that had the ability to rest their stars on Sunday afternoon. So I just like the idea of the Bengals coming out in this game, winning it, Joe Burrow winning this game, the running game working, counteracting Max Crosby, and just beating a beat-up and tired Vegas team. But the 5.5, I don't think. But I do love the Bengals as a parlay piece. Like, I will say that. I really, really like the Bengals as a parlay piece. I wonder if, Blake and Ailish, do you have any feel for this game? Is this one of them for you? Like, let me kick it over to you. If not this one, then which game stuck out the most to you when you first started looking at the lines this weekend?
Yeah, I think you're going to know my answer. The Bills on the spread, I think they're -4. Yeah, I'm feeling confident about that one. I think we touched on it earlier. I think that if it's going to be a game, it's going to be a big Josh Allen game. I feel like it won't be this close. I think that they're going to win by a little bit more than what's predicted. So I'm going to go Bills on the spread this weekend. The money line is not really as profitable as I would have hoped for, so I think that that's how I'll make a little bit more on my my predictions. And then I had the Niners on the spread, too. We talked about that earlier, how that could be the upset of the weekend that I'm thinking about. The money line is tempting, but also the spread, I think, is a little bit of a safer pick, in my opinion. So those are the two that I'm going in on.
Well, let's just stick with the Bills for a second, because I think that's going to be a really popular one. I actually really do love the idea of a Bills-Bengals parlay for this weekend. That 4 is really attractive on the spread for me with the Patriots because it's so cold and I think it could be a tight game. But what do we think about the total in that game considering it's freezing cold outside? It's 43.5 right now. I'm kind of leaning as that is the game where we're going to go under. Like, do we really expect Mac Jones to score a ton of points? Do we really expect the Patriots run game to score a ton of points? I feel like even if we end up with a game where the Bills win, it could be something like, you know, 30-10, you know, 27-10, and you still hit that under.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, the over-under projects as, like, what is that, 43.5? So
yeah.
It projects right now to about 44, so, like, enough that there's not a ton of value there. Like, I think the over-under is a no-touch for me. But, yeah, like, especially if closer to kickoff, the winds pick up more than we're expecting. Like, I think at last look, it was something like 14 kilometers an hour projected around kickoff. If that picks up at all, then, you know, I think that changes kind of the accounting here a little bit on the total. But I don't have a strong feel either direction on that one as it stands right now.
How do you feel about it, Chris?
Well, I mean, I think we expected a low-scoring game both times they played this year, right? One was a bit of a blowout on Boxing Day, and then they did play a low-scoring game, the game that New England won. So, for me, with a total in this game, I think it kind of depends on how the game starts. If New England can control early, then they can maybe keep it close. But if Buffalo are to get on the board early, then maybe we see a bit of a high score. So I would maybe wait and do an in-play total on this after we see what happens early.
I'm really confident in the under. I think that, to me, this is a... This is a tease. This is going in whatever version of a coward's parlay I'm going to have for a Saturday, but I'm likely going to play the teasing the under something like 46.5, where there is kind of a key number, 47.5, maybe even adding 7 points to this thing and getting super conservative with it. But yeah, it's ice cold. I bet you there's going to be some drops in this game. We know that Mac Jones, remember how I've never seen snow before. You think that he's going to deal with this cold extremely well? Belichick's going to try to control the ball on the ground. He's going to run. That's going to chew up the clock. And if New England is behind in this game and needs to score points late, I just don't trust them to do it. I also, last thing on this game, I really like Josh Allen touchdown at +150. It's not crazy good value for a quarterback. I get that, but I just think he's a really tough guy to contain. He's a tough guy to handle. We've seen him do this on third downs. We've seen him do this in the goal line areas. Super confident with it. So Josh Allen +150. I'll definitely be betting that scoring prop. Anything else from this game, Chris?
No, I think okay. You're on the right path there. There's some games I've also been thinking about just playing a prop instead of a side, and you generally get a better price on it too. So if you think that a prop is more likely to happen than you feel good about a side or a total, then it's, you know, it's the same money. So it's just something different to cheer for.
I would also be looking at the Patriots do love their gadget plays in the playoffs. And so I would be looking at potentially some long shot touchdown scores for that team that you wouldn't be thinking of. Like, I just if as far as in-play touchdown scores, that is something to keep track of. Looking at some of those guys who are on the field for this team, looking at who could catch those little weird Josh McDaniels gadget plays. So, Ailish, let's go back to your game, the game that you brought up anyways, which is the Niners. It doesn't scare you then at all. Anybody, I'll kick it to you back, Ailish, because you picked it. That every person on planet Earth seems to be picking the Niners as their underdog pick this weekend. Because that's always a red flag for me as a sports gambler.
I believe everybody on Earth. I'm just going to put my faith in everybody else's hands as well. But you know, I know how that goes. Sometimes you're like, wait, why are we all on the same page? Is that like instant? Is there like something that we're mushing each other? But I think there's something to be said about that. Like, I don't know. I feel like if the experts and the gamblers and the amateurs are all feeling this way, then I kind of, I like to put myself in the mercy of all their hands too. I don't know, Chris, if you think that that's the way it's leaning as well, but I think we talked about it and I feel confident in that being the upset of this weekend.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I still don't really have a whole lot of faith in San Francisco's offense. I think their defense competes. They have a couple of amazing weapons, like Debo Samuel is unreal. So, again, I think with this game, I lean more toward the Cowboys, but then, you know, maybe you bet on Debo to do things in this game. Like right now I'm looking at his anytime touchdown prop, at -118. I feel a lot better about that than either way this game goes. I'd like to think that Dallas at home is in a pretty good spot here with this number, but it is interesting to me that we're seeing interest in the 49ers.
So, Chris, what I'm going to ask for you here is I need a special ridiculous prop, which is like it's basically a Madden prop, something I'd try to do in a game, is I want the Debo rushing touchdown plus Debo passing touchdown plus Debo receiving touchdown prop to just pop off. But no, I'm with you. I'm on the Cowboys in this one. You know, I know that JD, you're not a huge fan, especially this year with all the nonsense of DVOA, but the Cowboys are the strongest team in the league by that particular advanced metric. This is one of the largest gaps in terms of you know, the analytic quality of the two teams on this slate. Like, I think it's a pretty chalky weekend, and I'll tee up the one dog that I like after. But I like the Cowboys. I also like the under in this game. It's at 51 flat right now. I show it projecting to about 48.5. You know, there are question marks with the San Francisco offense, and obviously Dallas's defense is very dangerous when they're on. So I like the under here, and I like the Cowboys. I don't think there's a huge value at Cowboys -3. You know, I think it projects right around there, but it's certainly not enough for me to go the Niners route when I've been pretty Cowboys optimistic the second half of the season here.
Yeah, for me with this game too, like when you look at a total that is that high and the spread is that tight, then you know, I think it's a lot more likely that Dallas puts up a chunk on San Francisco than San Francisco keeps this close and the total still hits 51. So that's another indicator to me that we're getting a pretty good line on the Cowboys here.
Yeah, I love this right now, guys, that the two of you are doing this, because this was always my hope, is that we could get it early enough where everyone was on the Niners, like Ailish and I, that the contrarians would start coming in, like the Chris's and the Blakes, going, actually, the projections and the DVOA. And I go, yes, good, good. Push this line up. Make it Cowboys 3.5. Let it be all the sharp money on the Cowboys and all the dumb Joe Public JD money on the Niners and the upset. Let's go. Ailish, we can do this. I believe in our Niners. I believe in our Niners. They are going to get this thing done. They're the tougher team. They're the more physical team. They're going to run the ball down Dallas's throat. Here's what I'll say. I actually think that this game could absolutely swing either way. That's why it's close. Duh. But I do like the Niners here. I just can't help but feel like Dallas has been pretty fraudulent this year. And I need Dak Prescott. This is basically the way that this game is going to go. The Niners are vulnerable deep. The Niners... Like Dak Prescott has to have a game. He's going to hit those receivers and he's going to punish them down the field. If that happens, the Niners are in real trouble. I just look at the coaches. I look at the line play. I look at everything in this game and I just like the tougher team and the team that's hotter and the team that's done it against more significant competition this year. And that's the Niners. And Blake, I'll close on this. I actually love DVOA, and I have been a DVOA guy since the beginning of DVOA, ever since I found out about it. And this, I'm talking like a decade ago, where you would actually get the Football Outsiders Almanac. And, you know, Mike Tenier, Aaron Schatz, those guys have always been like icons to me. What actually hurts me the most is I feel like DVOA this year has been the most fraudulent it's ever been. Dallas, I'm sorry. It has to matter a little bit that this team has played in this horrific division and completely inflated their record against horrific teams and has yet to get it done against a good one. I'm sorry. It does. That matters to me. So I trust Kyle Shanahan. I trust that running game. I trust the minds of that staff. I think that this is going to be a close game, but I think that the Niners are going to find a way to get it done. It just that call me once Jimmy Garoppolo throws his third interception. And I'm going, I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry, everyone. Chris, let's keep it moving to let's keep these games going. Let's keep moving through the games that are on the slate here this NFL Sunday. One of the other games that I feel super confident about is just betting the Chiefs essentially at any number. It's all the way to 12.5. Do you feel the same way? Like, at what point do you take the Steelers?
Oh, I think I'm pretty close to taking the Steelers. I think Kansas City to cover that number is that's a lot. That is a lot with a Steelers team that has hung around. The fact that Roethlisberger's coming out this week being like, whatever, man, we're here. We're not supposed to win, tells me that the attitude is going to be more kind of like the knee-biting Detroit Lions than letting it get away. And I think that, you know, even if they do get down, there's not going to be a quit, like, oh, well, it's going to be like, oh, this is Ben's last game. So I think they play it out. So even if Kansas City gets up early, I can see them, you know, backdooring this. So I would lean the Steelers in this game at this number. I'd probably, you know, if I could take it up a little bit, you know, maybe 13.5, 14.5 and go from there.
All right.
Before we move to the Wake and Rake, sorry, I just wanted to get this in, Blake, because I want to cover, make sure we have all games, which is just, does anybody have a feel for this Buccaneers-Eagles game? Because to me, it's been the stay away. There's a reason why I've sort of left it alone. It feels like a big number, but I'm not betting against Tom Brady. Chris, do you have a feel?
No, I don't. But I feel like the Tampa Bay roster is in a bit of shambles. So it's a tough one for me. I got to be honest. That might be an in-game bet situation as well.
Blake, you?
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay wins, but I nine's a lot. Nine's a lot when you're banged up. I think if there's a play here, maybe it's the over. This probably doesn't account for all the injury question marks enough, but it projects around 48.5, and the over-under's at 45.5 right now, but I don't feel super, super comfortable with that one either. That might be a... I don't know. I was going to say it's going to be a stay away, but let's be honest. That's the Sunday 1 o'clock game. There's no way I'm staying away. I'll find something, but it might be a morning decision.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, so we got to go to the Wake and Rake parlay. We got to make these. We set up the NFL slate, but we got to lock in our Friday night or weekend one. Last week, as a reminder, we went 4-4 here. Coolbet Chris got in on the Wake and Rake dominance. Ailish, let's start with you. First pick. We'll try to get you. Look, you said you were cold because your apartment was cold.
Yes,
your apartment's got the heat again.
I got a lot to prove today.
You've got money as your Zoom background. Give us the heat.
Yeah. So I think maybe the issue is I've been floating around too many NHL predictions. The NHL is a wild ride right now. I look at tonight's games: Stars, Panthers, Ducks, Wild, Coyotes, Avalanche. The only thing I feel confident about is the Avalanche, but seeing how the Coyotes just smashed the Leafs, I'm not even going to go near that. Even the Wild Ducks game, I don't know. It's too tight for me. So bye to the NHL. I'm getting away from you for a bit. Going to go NBA. I'm going to watch Blake's reaction just to make sure I'm going the right way here. But I like our Cavs on the spread. Yeah, I got a head nod. Yeah. Okay, so they're playing the Spurs. I'm feeling confident about the Cavs lately. They're on a 3-1 Western Conference road trip right now. I feel like we used to be betting on them a lot. I strayed off that, and I'd like to get back into the Cavs and the cover. What is it, Blake?
Ailish, I'll tell you what I have in my notes here. Is Cavs -3.5 at Spurs. Like it, but picked Cavs too recently. So
okay,
I had the Cavs
perfect.
On
I'll take it.
So this was just like, I don't want to, like, I just went Cavs Grizzlies the last two nights, and those have been the two teams that I probably hit the most on against the spread this year, and I just didn't want to go back to the well myself. So
perfect.
I'm glad you
good.
Took Cavs -3.5. The Spurs are not good.
No,
it's always tough to pick a road team in the middle of a Western Conference trip, but the Cavs are getting back closer to health. They've been an against the spread monster all year, and that Allen Mobley front court is something tough to deal with.
Lock it in.
Yeah, Cavs -3.5. Cool bet, Chris. I'll go to you next. Do you have anything? And I guess you can go the whole weekend. Last time around, we went a pure Friday one, but you know, chooser's choice here in terms of where you go.
Is it okay if I include a Saturday line that's on the board right now? There's not much that gets me excited about.
We'll accept it.
Okay. Saturday night in Hamilton, the Halifax Thunderbirds and the Toronto Rock were going under 22.
Whoa!
Halifax is a defensive stalwart. Toronto is playing in an empty stadium. Pretty much all their games have gone under 22 this year. The first time these teams played, it was under this number as well, and it was way under this number until some late goals. Lacrosse, such an energy game, playing it in that empty First Ontario Center out there. I think the temperature, the intensity is going to be ramped down just a little tiny bit. So under 22 in that one.
I have never bet on lacrosse, and I'm liking it. I like to dabble a little lacrosse bet.
Here we go. Yeah, early in the season, so it's a little hard to rely on this stuff too much. But those two teams combined have averaged a total of, and not against each other, just in their games in total, a combined 19.5 as an average total. So they've both been a little on the underside of the under.
Chris, I want you to make me a promise right now, though, because I love this bet, and I think that we all love this bet. I'm going to need you to have Coolbet lock this in at that number, because I don't want to have this where our listeners end up going to it, and all of a sudden now the three of us bet this, and it's like the under is at 19.5. Like, make me that Coolbet guarantee, because this is what's going to happen. I already know it. I already know I'm going to go to this a second later. You're going to be like, oh, it's a 22.5, and then it's going to be like 19.5 10 minutes later.
Definitely
lock
not.
Lock it in.
Get there now. That's all. Get there as soon as
lock
we're done
it
this.
In, Chris. Lock it in for the people. Lock in that 22.5. Give the people what they want. Lock in that 22.5, because now this show is going to move that line 1,000%. And we have a lot of podcast listeners that are going to do this too. So under 22.5 in that lacrosse game, I love it.
Not half. I think it's 22 flat. It's 22 flat. But still.
22 flat. So under 22 flat. Look at Chris. Look at Chris already trembling away. He's like, oh boy, oh boy. I don't want to lose this Woody. Oh, cool, man. He's trembling. He's trembling. He gave too good of a pick. Now lock it in, Chris. Don't be a coward. Lock it in. So I love that. I will say this. I actually really love betting lacrosse, but normally I love taking overs because it's such a fun over sport because there's a billion goals. But okay, I will go against my greater instincts and I will lock in a number. Blake likes to go last, so I will give my pick. I'm going to go tonight. I'm just going to go Sixers money line, -164 against the Celtics. They're just a better team, and Embiid's playing like an MVP candidate. And I don't really see a reason why I would be betting the Celtics here. That's just a team that has not been able to get it consistently together throughout the season. And if we're talking about like teams I've sneakily made money on, you know, Blake and myself, it hurt me that Blake personalized, you know, the Cavs and the Grizzlies when they're our Cavs and Grizzlies, but that's okay. But yes, the Cavs and the Grizzlies have been the betting the teams of this show, right? And so I love Cavs too, Ailish. I'm actually down with that pick. I don't even care that Memphis is on a back-to-back. I'm going to bet them again too on the money line. It's just a deep team. That's what's good for back-to-backs. But if I'm picking my favorite bet tonight, it's Joel Embiid against that Celtics team. I think he's going to kick the crap out of them. So yeah, lock me in for just the money line because it's a four-way parlay. So I'm going to take the money line with the Sixers.
Yeah, the 76ers have been rolling. They just lost to Charlotte, but that's not a particular... Like, Charlotte's on a good little run here, too.
Tear, yeah.
And when you're on a win streak, you're going to drop one eventually. The Celtics have won three in a row, too, but it's like... It was coming off those really bad games against the Spurs and the Knicks, and then they beat the Knicks, and then they barely beat the Pacers, and then they blew out the Pacers. So it's not as if they've been beating a lot of good teams. And Marcus Smart is questionable, so that's always like a... A bit of a tone setter there. And then on the 76ers side, Danny Green and Shake Milton remain out, but you've still got Joel Embiid and you've got the rest of the pieces there, obviously. So I like Sixers.
Danny Green's waiting to play until he can get a championship ring. He's
right.
Not going to play until he can have a ring ceremony.
I was just kicking around, you know, whether that's a money line or a spread play for me. And that's I'll decide later. But like you said, because it's a multi-leg parlay here, we can go with the money line pretty safely. So I'm going to go. I just mentioned teams beating up on the Pacers. The Pacers are bad. They've won one of their last nine. Malcolm Brogdon might not play tonight. The Phoenix Suns are really good. They might get Cam Johnson back, who's the only guy they're really missing right now. Phoenix -5.5 at Indiana. Just to put that in a little better context, Phoenix was -4, and that line bounced between -3.5 and -4.5 at Toronto. You're telling me that the Pacers are only 1 point off the Raptors? I don't think so. Again, the road favorite is always a little iffy, but I think this Phoenix team is good, and I think this Pacers team, even with Sabonis and Turner, is not good. So I'm going to go Suns -5.5. There are a few NBA lines I like tonight, so it could be a fun one for us as a show in general. Yeah, well, we're almost out of time, so I do like Heat -5 against Atlanta, where Capella's out, Kevin Herter's questionable, and that Reddish Hill trade hasn't gone through yet, so they're short guys. And Jimmy Butler might be back. So Heat -5 is another one. And then This is a parlay only play probably because it's minus 181. But Florida against Dallas projects us closer to like minus 230. So you're getting about 50 cents of value on a hockey favorite there. And then you could play it up even more going in regulation. So those are a couple spots I'll beat tonight.
I love it.
Again, let's stay hot. The wake and rake has been insane. We have been just absolutely taking in the cash. So, again, if you want to bet with us, just hit me up on Instagram. Hit me up in the DMs at JD Bunkus. If you haven't played with CoolBet before, I will set you up. You just got to be a listener to the show. And you just got to be someone who likes money. That's all. That's all you got to be. CoolBet Chris Abbott. Let's make money this weekend, friend. Let's fund your Vegas trip.
I'm down with that. I am down with that. Let's do it. Let's absolutely do it.
Yeah, let's fund the trip. We'll talk to you next week, buddy, and I'll be texting you very soon. See you, pal.
All right. Cheers, guys. Have a great weekend.
Cool bet, Chris. Let's just stay hot through the weekend, you know? Let's just make some money on football because that's what I really care about. Blake, I got to tell you, though, just quickly before we go to break, kind of a betrayal from you. Going with the Cowboys when short road favorites or short road dogs has been our play all year. And then Ailish and I, as the show, we're ready to rock and roll on the Niners.
All I do is listen to you.
You stab us in the back in front of all the listeners, you know?
I set this up earlier in the week, though, is like I have to do some digging on historic because, like, once you get to the playoffs, everyone's going to be a short road dog.
Okay, I'm just saying. Like you stabbed us in the back. You stabbed us in the back.
Four of the six games have short road dogs this week. I'm not gonna go dogs all over the place. I'm gonna pick, one or two of those out. But I'm sorry.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.